Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bored YouTube channel for today's Thursday afternoon show. And we're getting towards the end of the regular season. These games are starting to heat up, and two teams, when the games are getting tough, the season's getting hot, they're faltering. Those two teams that we're going to be talking about today are the Milwaukee Bucks and the Cleveland Cavaliers. But also, we do need to mention Malachi Flynn and his 50-point performance. I won't disrespect 30. It's a 50 bomb for Malachi Flynn for the Detroit Pistons, and we'll be discussing that a little bit today as well. And to finish off, if there's any betting we want to talk about, we'll get into that as well. But along the way, send in your questions to the chat. We'll be happy to answer any betting questions, any NBA-related questions. But drop a like if you enjoyed what you see from this one, and remember to subscribe. But let's get started. Kirk Evans this season starting to wind down here, still maneuvering through injuries, still maneuvering through rest, motivation. How has the NBA season as a whole been for you?
NBA season as a whole has been great. Definitely kind of excited for it to get to the playoffs here, have a little bit more time on my hands. I definitely wind down. Also nice having that week of the play-in game. And playoff betting's more fun, honestly, than regular season betting. Regular season betting's a real grind. But yeah, I'll be happy for a few weeks that it's over and then sad that it's gone. But season as a whole has been great.
We might touch on this more next week before we get into our topics. Does your betting strategy change at all for the playoffs with the lines getting sharper earlier on, perhaps sportsbooks being more attuned to all of the games because less games are going on? What does your strategy look like compared to the regular season?
Yeah, I think it's a totally different game, honestly. I think the regular season is kind of, you know, you find prices on teams, adjust those teams throughout, like, you know, one game. Okay, they lose by 10. How much do we adjust here? How much do we adjust off this injury? How much do we adjust off this cluster of injuries? But playoff betting is much more, you know, all right, this team's playing each other seven times. How much does this one game matter? And those swings are much more dramatic. So it's definitely, it's just a totally different animal to bet. It's definitely different.
Makes sense. Hopefully we can touch on that a little bit more as we get closer to the playoffs, but let's get started because the regular season is still ongoing and the Milwaukee Bucks, they have really stumbled in this last little stretch of games here. I mean, not really the last little stretch of games. They've stumbled ever since Doc Rivers took over as head coach. We spoke about when it happened. We had some criticism for the decision, not necessarily for letting go of Adrian Griffin, but for hiring Doc Rivers. But one thing that has been mentioned on this channel is that, well, at least with Doc Rivers, you're going to get good results in the regular season. You may not get them in the playoffs, but he's a good regular season head coach. That has absolutely not been the case for this season. The Bucks are 15-15 with Doc Rivers as the head coach, and 5-5 in the last 10, most recently a loss to the Memphis Grizzlies, who are 12-point underdogs. And honestly, with not an easy stretch of games remaining, they still have to play Orlando twice. They still have to play the Knicks. They're only 2.5 games out of the fifth seed. What do you think has gone so wrong for the Milwaukee Bucks under Doc Rivers?
Yeah, so I think the explanation is actually pretty simple here. And was kind of the big question mark about the Bucks coming into the season. Their depth is absolutely atrocious, and they've kind of suffered injuries. With Griffin, they were actually very healthy. But under Doc, just guys have kind of been out. Lillard's been out for a while. He missed some games earlier. Giannis has been mostly healthy. Middleton missed a huge chunk of games. If you look at the Milwaukee Bucks starting lineup this season, including Middleton, it actually has a better net rating than the Celtics starting lineup, which is pretty surprising.
Yeah.
With Dame and Giannis on this season, they have a 9.4 net, which is solid. It's not like some unbelievable number, but definitely very good. That's like, I think only the Celtics have a better net rating than that this season. With Giannis on and Lillard off, they're a -2. With Lillard on and Giannis off, they're a 1.6. And with both of them off, they're a -10.5. So I think it's not so much Doc. I don't see that so much in the results. Again, I feel like I'm always defending Doc on this show, even though I'm definitely very low on him as a coach. But yeah, the bench on this team is horrible. They kind of needed to get a lucky, like, okay, you know, Marshawn Beauchamp takes a step, or Andre Jackson Jr. is surprisingly good. And that just hasn't really happened. And these guys are pretty old. So if your depth is really bad, and, you know, Giannis has had an injury tag all season, depending on, you know, I think knee tendinopathy, Achilles tendonitis, some shoulder injuries. Lillard, these guys are old. Brook Lopez is old. Chris Middleton's the most injury-prone player in the league at this point. So it's hard to build around a team that has a lot of top-end talent, but that top-end talent isn't that available. And when you take any of them out of the equation, they really struggle. So I don't think it's so much Doc. And I do think you get a bit of a boost in the playoffs, being able to kind of play your guys. And Middleton now actually is seeing some heavy minutes. But that being said, one of these guys is going to get hurt. They're not going to be able to play 48 minutes, and that's going to be a huge problem.
Yeah, I think Middleton's been ramping up his play in minutes near the end of the season. I think that's going to be a big boost for them. But, I mean, seeding is going to be pretty important here. So their last six games of the season, next four are at home against the Raptors, which they should win. They have the Knicks, the Celtics, and the Magic. Then they go away to the Thunder and away to the Magic. It is a very difficult run-in from a scheduling perspective. And Orlando, who are only two games behind Milwaukee, get two opportunities to take wins off of them. That is going to be a frenzy towards the finish line of this regular season. But for playoff aspirations, we noted them as basically contenders, but just not quite on the same level of Boston. Does that still remain for you at this point in the season?
Yeah, they've definitely fallen off a bit. They've obviously, like we're talking about, they've been struggling, especially if they fall out of that two spot. I haven't really seen them being able to beat Boston all season, so I still don't think that, unless there's injuries or you know, some serious three-point shooting variance. That being said, I still would say they're the second most likely team to come out of the East. But yeah, if they drop to, you know, three or four, it's gonna be tough. I'm definitely not, you know, penciling them in for an auto win in round one, especially if they get the Heat or the Sixers, who look like they might be the two teams in the play-in.
All right, interesting stuff to follow for the Bucks for the remainder of the season. Let's go to another team here. This is a team you were very high on all throughout the regular season. We've been talking about them. I'm sure you have loads of futures on them. You might be feeling maybe a little bit of pressure with the way they've spun here. Injuries are obviously a factor here for the Cleveland Cavaliers, but in the middle of the season, they won like 18 of 20 games battling injuries to Garland and Mobley. But the Cleveland Cavaliers are, they're 1.5 games back of the Bucks, but it certainly feels as though if they were maintaining course, they'd easily occupy the two seed right now. They've lost 6 of their last 10. Where do you see the Cleveland Cavaliers going for the rest of this season?
It's tough. I kind of think they need to just really heavily manage, especially Mitchell. And as much as I think I need them to have 3 more wins, maybe 4 more wins to cash my future here. I think they have 1, 2, 3, 4. I have over 48.5, and I think some over 49.5. So it's definitely dicey.
I've got on the preseason show, I took their under 50.5. So that's looking
we could both win.
Pretty good at this point. They have 5 games left. They'd have to win all 5 for me not to win that bet. Yeah. But anyways, back to what you were mentioning.
They've been the most injured team in the league this year. I think out of anyone who's serious, like Memphis is probably number one. I guess Sixers maybe just because of how long Joel's been out. But Mobley, Garland, and Mitchell have all suffered serious injuries. And Mitchell's just not right now. He's really struggling. He has that knee injury. Garland hasn't been the same since he came back from his jaw injury. So yeah, I think this is honestly looking like, it's weird because the Cavs are going to probably end up being the 3 seed, but I kind of think that they're just drawing dead mostly unless the health really squares up. They've just been really, really bad for a while now. And I think it's a bit of the injuries catching up to them, in the sense that they were playing really over their skis and playing a lot of minutes, and now people are kind of tired and hurt. But you also do get some time to recover in that week between the play-in and the first round. So who knows? I think they're a really talented team. They actually fit really well together. They have a lot of shooting off the bench. Sam Merrill's been really good. Strew's struggling to shoot the ball, but still fits really well. Okoro's hurt, but should be back. I think it's a toe injury. So I think, yeah, I don't love them as a playoff team either way. And for them to be struggling like this, and especially Mitchell's knee to be clearly bothering him pretty badly, I think they're in pretty rough shape, but we'll see. Not as though I thought they were, you know, pushed for a championship run either way.
Is there any team in the East that's like actually hitting, I guess the Magic, but I was going to say, is there any team actually hitting stride into the playoffs other than Boston and Orlando? Like, Indiana look off because Halliburton's playing hurt and hasn't been the same since the All-Star break. Miami, I guess, have just been chugging along
solid,
all season.
Solid.
They've just maintained course pretty much all season. The Knicks are decimated. The Randall news is horrible for them. He's going to almost certainly require surgery. We talked about Cleveland. We talked about the Bucks. Yeah. Are Orlando like a serious threat to get to a conference finals here or what?
I don't think so. They're pretty a team that really I do not think is built for the playoffs.
I mean, neither do I.
It's not impossible.
Not a lot of competition here.
I don't know. I'm interested to see how the Bucks price all these first round playoff series. It's really interesting. Like Philly, Boston, Philly, Milwaukee. Like, what's the price going to be there? That's interesting. I think Philly has a chance to go into the playoffs playing pretty well if Joel can get healthy. They have not been playing well.
They have to be the 7th seed, though. They cannot be the 8th seed.
Yes, totally agree. Massive game tonight. Just an absolutely massive game tonight for them. It's going to be really hard for them to get to the 7th seed, though. Like, yeah, I guess they have a chance. They need to win tonight. I agree with you, though. There are not, I think in both leagues, honestly, right now, Boston's kind of the only team that's playing well out of all the good teams. Like, if you want to list them out, Minnesota's been fine. They've been good. That's fair. But also still no Cat. OKC's been good, but then just got blown out or lost two straight because Shea and J-Dub are hurt. Denver's been fine, but Murray's hurt and the injury's a bit sketchy. Clippers are a disaster. The Mavs have really been rolling of late. Pels, Ingram hurt, Zion hurt.
Yeah.
So a lot of teams struggling. Sacramento is really struggling. The good teams in the league right now.
The Lakers and Warriors are winning games now. That's it. But they're the 9-10, and they can't both make the playoffs very likely.
No, I think they both can't. Unless the Lakers.
Lakers
no,
have
they
to
both
jump
can't.
Sacramento, which they can. They're only a game back of them now, but. Of course, they're 9-10. They can't both get in the playoffs.
Yeah, but
it's possible neither of them get in the playoffs there. Damn. Yeah, I guess the injury bug is really hitting teams. Is it? I don't know. I was trying to, like, is this just strange coincidence? Is this too many guys trying to play their 65 games? Because, you know, for Halliburton, that's definitely what it is. He's trying to get to 65 games. But for other players, is this playing a factor?
I think there's probably a lot of, you know, if any guy has any injury right now, they're resting. Like, I think Shea and J-Dub probably could be playing. I think that, who else is there? Lillard, I think, probably could be playing if he needed to. So I think a lot of it is mostly just rest. Ingram and Zion. Ingram's pretty seriously hurt. Zion got hurt last night. I think he should be fine. Like, the injuries aren't great, but since none of them are too serious, it seems fine because a lot of them should be back for game one of the playoffs. The only guys who are really up there questionable would be Ingram. Obviously, Randall's done. I think players have played way too much this year. I've been saying that all season. But I think right now, like most of it is just really ramping down so you could start ramping up for the playoffs.
Right. But I mean, for a lot of teams, you gotta get there still. That's just the big thing, and seeding is gonna matter. But yeah, I guess for a lot of teams, they're just thinking get in and give yourself the best team possible once you get there and worry about it later. Yeah.
I think teams have wildly underrated seeding for years now, and I think they still are. Like,
wholeheartedly agree.
I don't know what the injury was for OKC. I don't know if Shai re-aggravated it or Jalen Williams hurt his ankle, but neither of them played these games. Shai came back, played against New York, and then missed these two games. They lost both of them, and now they're pretty much out of the one seed. It's a much harder road to win four times in Denver. You know, like, OKC should be trying to get to the finals right here. So, I don't know. It's a bit of a weird one, to be fair. OKC hasn't really rested anyone all year. So, maybe they are hurt, but definitely strange. I think teams really underrate seeding.
And what made it worse was just weird things can happen. Look, the 8 seed Miami Heat got to the NBA Finals last year. Strange things do happen from time to time, but yeah, seeding is a big time factor. And I don't know why, like, the Clippers for years have been the same case of just get into playoffs, we'll figure it out. And every year they don't figure it out. This year they seem more equipped than normal, but they're still only the 4 seed here, though they have done everything possible, it seems, this year. So maybe they're starting to catch up with the notion that, yes, seeding is something that matters. Home court's massive. Like, it just home court is very important. And it's even more important when you're taking it away from teams like Denver, who have such a strong home court advantage on top of what already, like, just playing at home does to a team. So, yeah, I hate the notion that it's just get in the playoffs and figure it out. Absolutely. Let's shift over to the other side of the standings near the bottom, where we had one of the most outlier single game performance in NBA history. I was watching the Raptors, but followed this along because I could not believe what I was seeing. I saw Flynn was at like 27 and people were telling me like he might go for 40 tonight. Well, how about 50 points for Malachi Flynn? 50 square on 18 of 25 shooting off the bench in a losing effort for the Detroit Pistons, but 50 of his team's 113 points. As a Raptors fan, watching a former Raptor do this on the same day that the Raptors suffer their worst loss in franchise history, it's got to sting a little bit. You mentioned you watched the performance. Any comments that you can give on Malachi Flynn's historic night?
Yeah, I've been really low on Malachi Flynn his whole career. Good for him. I don't read too much from it. He had a lot of jump shots, shot really well, had some really nice straight line drives as well, to be fair to him. Maybe we've got a Flynn sanity on our hands. I wouldn't read. I think the biggest thing to read from it is low level NBA players are still really unbelievably good at basketball, and late season NBA can get really weird. So I wouldn't read too much into this if I was Detroit. You know, I don't think Malachi Flynn is the guy going forward, but it was a really impressive performance. There's absolutely no doubt about that. I did not think he had that in him. I think least points per game average for a player to score 50 in NBA history.
Correct. So he averaged 5.4 points per game going into that game. The holder at the time of that record was Terrence Ross, who averaged 7.4 before putting up 52, I think it was, for the Raptors out of nowhere. RW fan says, trade Cunningham, trade Ivy, trade Duren, build around Flynn, hashtag rebuild over. Yeah, for Malachi Flynn, I was high on Malachi out of college. I was high on him going into his first season. He actually had a pretty good run near the end of that Tampa season, his rookie season, which led me to be optimistic going into his second season. But the optimism quickly faded. I don't think Malachi Flynn is very good. He's been discarded by two teams already this season, and he's ended up on the worst team in the NBA, where he still wasn't getting consistent minutes all the time. Then he drops 50 out of nowhere. I honestly would have thought that there was a possibility that this was Malachi Flynn's final season in his NBA career. I was a bit shocked when the Raptors gave him his fourth year at the start of his third year for, like, without having any reason to give it to him. That's the reason he's still in the NBA at this point, potentially. And he might have been fizzling out, honestly. Like, the Raptors dumped you, then they sucked. The Knicks dumped you, and they've been decimated by injuries. And now Detroit, like, you can't fall any lower than this. But I definitely think a 50-point game might just... I think a 50-point game gives you at least a training camp deal. At the absolute minimum, you're in training
camp. I totally agree. I think he's probably got... I think, honestly, last night probably got him another year in the NBA. It's just tough. It's tough being a small guard who's just not... He put up 50, but he's just not that good offensively. He just doesn't really have that much of a fit in the NBA, but he's fine as like a 13th guy who can play backup point guard if your starter's hurt. Like,
yeah,
he can do that, but he's just like doesn't have many like standout NBA skills.
Like, he's just he can kind of shoot. His form is really good. He's one of the worst shooters for a guy's form is so excellent.
Looks good. It looks good when he shoots. There's no doubt.
But he's very inconsistent on threes. Playmaking doesn't create really advantages. Size wise, like he can't get to the rim. He can't score at the rim. He's not great without the ball in his hands, which like he needs to be great without the ball in his hands. And defensively, he's a liability. But he scored 50 in an NBA game. There's, I think, like less than 150 people who have ever done that. But yeah, welcome to the 2024 NBA. This is the NBA Adam Silver has created, where Sadiq Bey can get 50. I think PJ Washington didn't get 50, but I think he had 40 in a game. And I think
Kenny Lofton put up like 48 or something last game of last year.
And he's I think he's out of the league now, or he's
maybe he signed somewhere, but he definitely got cut by Memphis. I can't remember where he signed, but he's definitely jumping between the G League and the NBA.
Yeah, absolute insanity. You just get these sort of nights near the end of regular seasons, but you just don't get it to this degree. I am very much looking forward to seeing how he responds against the Grizzlies. Not responds, but like there's going to be a lot of eyes on him.
For sure. And that's a good matchup. It's two bad teams.
Yeah. So he's going to get play time. I wonder if he starts. I wonder if Monty just says, fuck it, and just starts him, because Monty loves to
start. It's not impossible, but I just kind of, if Cade plays, I doubt it. If Cade's out again, maybe.
Right. By the way, it's 50 off the bench. I don't think we mentioned that. It was 50 off the bench, by the way.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. I didn't realize that.
Two players in NBA history have done that, including him.
Yeah, I didn't even realize. I was like, wow, his first shot was 3 minutes. It was 3 minutes left in the first quarter, and then I looked. Oh, wow, he was off the bench.
So do you know who the other player who scored 50 off the bench was before
yesterday? I don't. Lou Will?
Close.
Jamal Crawford.
So... an elite tier of bench players, Malachi Flynn and now Jamal Crawford. Oh boy. Looking forward to his next game. All right. We've kind of mowed through these topics today, but let's get to any betting for tonight. Five games on the slate, possibility of discussing futures. But yes, last week we had a pretty small slate as well. Anything that you have for today, for tonight, for the future that you maybe want to give out here?
Yeah, I've got a couple futures and then one prop for tonight. Awesome. Prop, I'll go Jonathan Kuminga under 24.5 PRA. Looks like we've got some a bit above minus 110s across the board.
Yeah, so looking through BetStamp here, easily you can find the best number available. Widely available options. Caesars. We can get minus, so you're under 24.5, we can get minus 108. Betway has minus 25.5, minus 120, which has been actually projected to be a little bit better. But you get minus 110 at 365, minus 111 at FanDuel, minus 105 at BetMGM. So plenty of opportunity to get good numbers out here. Let's take the Caesars number, because that's one that pretty much anybody should be able to get. And it's not just scumming the best in market there. So we'll go Jonathan Kuminga under 24.5 PRA. Available at Caesars for minus 108. That is the play for today.
Yeah, I think pretty confident if he plays, he's coming off the bench, which I really like Jonathan Kuminga. Doesn't seem like Kurd likes him as much. They just have a lot of guys off the bench on this Warriors team, so it's really easy to get lost if you don't close. So I think the minutes downside is pretty low. Also coming off a knee injury, so I don't know if they're going to want to run him too much. The front end of a back-to-back, pretty tough matchup for him as well against Houston. I lean under here.
Yeah, he's coming back from injury, and the Warriors have been rolling lately. So, with Kerr not particularly loving Jonathan Kuminga, there is a lot of reason for him not to want to give him too many minutes today. So I can easily see the handicap for the PRA. Jonathan Kuminga on 24.5. All right, what else do we got?
So I'm going to go Naz Reid, Sixth Man of the Year. I think they're like right around plus 100 out there. I know this, we're really not getting the best of the number here, but I feel pretty confident he's going to win this award. And then I'm going to go Kobe White, Most Improved Player.
Okay. Dipping into the awards markets. I like it. I like going into the awards near the end of the season here. Yeah, I think there's Tyrese Maxey is just living off like the first half of the season, in all honesty. I don't want to be disrespectful because he's been great this season, deserved to be an all-star. I think he started the all-star game deservedly, but
I don't think he started.
Okay, he's there. He didn't start because Dame and Tyrese did, but anyways, yeah. He got there for good reason, and he's just been the massive favorite all season, but I think people are going to look at the way they've fallen off this season without Embiid, and I kind of agree with you there. I'm just quickly looking at FanDuel. He's where Kobe White's plus 180, and look at Naz Reid minus 110. Where do you see best numbers for them if you have it top of your head?
FanDuel, I think, is best for Kobe White. I saw there was a minus 105 for Naz Reid at DraftKings.
Okay.
Let me check, like Rivers and Caesars. But yeah, anything, minus 110 for Naz Reid. I think he's pretty clearly the favorite at this point. I'd put him at like 60, 65%. He's playing unbelievably well. I don't think starting particularly matters here, that he's been playing so well while starting. And it is hard to win the award when you're missing the last, whatever Malik Monk's going to miss the last like 10 games of the season when I don't think it was decided at all. And yeah, exactly like you said for Maxey, he's just not really deserving of this award. He's scoring more, less efficiently, with a bit more playmaking, while Kobe White's scoring way more, more efficiently, and playmaking more. Maxey was really good with Joel, and yeah, I think he was a deserving favorite then, and now they've been absolutely horrible for 4 months or 3 months or whatever it is. I just don't really see how you give this guy an award who, when he was left alone, just was bad. Not that he was a bad player. He's still a great player. I really like Tyrese Maxey, but he wasn't particularly improved in any way for the last like 3 months of the season. So I just don't really see him winning the award. He really has no momentum behind him.
So for Kobe White, we had plus 180 at FanDuel. And for Naz Reid, did you say minus 105 at DraftKings?
Yeah.
Minus 105 at DraftKings. So hoping that Naz Reid's late push in the season. By the way, Naz Reid has been, if you guys have been following, he's been fantastic in the last stretch of games. So he is definitely on course to seriously challenging for the award, while Malik Monk is going to be missing games, as you mentioned, for the rest of the season. So three bets coming through for today. It's going to be Jonathan Kuminga under 24.5 PRA. That is minus 108. We took it at Caesars. We added Kobe White, plus 180 at FanDuel. Let's say 0.75 of a unit for that. What do you think?
Great.
Sounds good. Then for Naz Reid to win the Sixth Man of the Year award, we're going to take minus 105, just a single unit as normal for that one. Just for tracking purposes, of course, feel free to add on to whatever level you want for your betting. This just makes it easier for the tracking purposes for our for the open bet stamp page that we have for this channel. All right, that will do it for the show for today. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. If you did enjoy, if you're tailing the picks, then please make sure you hit that like button and consider subscribing as well for more content coming at you for the rest of the regular season, content in the playoffs and beyond right here on the Board YouTube channel. I'll be back tomorrow morning with Pips NBA to finish off the week. Next week, I'll be back with Kirk Evans. We'll hopefully see you there.